This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Glenn Stanton with us on the show. Glenn is Director of Family Formation Studies at Focus on the Family. He debates and lectures extensively on the issues of gender, sexuality, marriage, and parenting. Glenn is the author of several books, including his two latest, The Ring Makes All the Difference and Secure Daughters, Confident Sons. Glenn is with us today to talk about the findings of a recent Australian study on children raised in same-sex parent homes, which claims that kids raised by same-sex parents are no different than those raised by married moms and dads. Glenn has spent years studying and writing about marriage, parenting, and families, and we are very interested in getting his analysis and perspective on this highly controversial report. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much. It's good to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you back on Family Policy Matters. Now, Glenn, tell us about this new study on same-sex parenting that was conducted at the University of Melbourne in Australia. First of all, what did the researchers set out to find, and what was the purpose of this study?
Well, the study was, like a number of other studies on this topic, is how kids fare in same-sex parented homes, growing up with two moms or two dads. But as I've been studying this stuff, and other scholars looking at it as well, you need to take that with a little grain of salt. And so I looked into the study very, very carefully and just found really some very significant problems with it. And this was, if you will, an activist study. It was done by a group of people that really have a very vested self-interest in, finding good things on the lesbian and gay family, because, that's the political world or, ideology that they're coming from. The main part of my work in looking at this is, so many people like, oh, I know, the natural family matters, mom, dad, and the kids, but this stuff that I'm reading, from these important newspapers and news sources seem to tell us that, maybe that's not actually right. So it's good and it's important to dig into this stuff and really look at the more granular nature of it and see, okay, what is the truth and falsity of the study?
And Glenn, I know that after this report has come out, the media has been reporting the results of this study as if it is conclusive about the nature of same-sex parenting. In fact, the title of one Washington Post article states, and I quote, "Children of same-sex couples are happier and healthier than peers, research finds." Now, is this headline correct? And why are so many in the secular media, at least, so quick to jump to conclusions about the study?
Well, it's interesting, and surprisingly, in a way, that article title does get it right, and that's part of the problem, and I'll explain that. But the other on the media, every story that I have looked at in the mainstream press, it's none of them have looked critically at the study or even asked serious questions about the study itself, which we'll get into. But really what the study finds, the study compared a very small population of kids in same-sex homes, and there's problems with that population sample, but they compared them with kids in all kinds of heterosexual homes, single parent, divorced, intact, cohabiting, married, all these different kinds of families. So basically what the study is finding is that kids in same-sex homes look like kids in some forms of heterosexual homes, whether it be single parent, divorced, cohabiting, whatever the case. The study did not look at kids in same-sex homes connected or relative to kids growing up with their own married mother or father. Didn't even try to look at that. So the finding in itself is really not problematic or news-making. It just basically means, kids in divorced families face particular problems and struggles. Kids in cohabiting families face particular struggles and problems. In step families, it's the same way. And so what they find is kids in same-sex homes show the same kind of problems as that. But that is not the same as saying that kids in same-sex homes do about as well as kids growing up with their own married mother and father. The study never looked at that and never claimed to look at that. But the media just kind of through implication implies that it did.
Well, Glenn, let's talk about the study a little bit more specifically. Now, I know that you wrote a blog post for Focus on the Family, and you detailed some of the serious shortcomings and methodological problems with the report. What are some of the other shortcomings of the study? And it, as I recall, didn't the authors of the report actually acknowledge some of these shortcomings?
Indeed, they did. And they were honest and good that way. The biggest shortcoming, and you know, your listeners will be able to think, I know that that's a problem. But the main thing was that the population sample of kids from same-sex homes, here's how they chose them. They recruited these parents from gay publications, gay activists, community organizations, you know, things like that. So basically, they recruited them. It would be like doing a study on gun ownership and recruiting everybody from the NRA or organizations like that. You know, I mean, that's a very specific population sample that is highly motivated to say good things about guns. Well, that's exactly what we had here. I mean, these are people that knew they were signing up for a important study on how well same-sex families do. They were recruited out of the gay and lesbian community, activist community, through newspapers, publications. And then also, these kids were overwhelmingly coming from parents who were very well educated, either had master's degrees or doctorates or postmaster's degrees. And they were financially very well off. And so what that means is generally kids who have very well-to-do and highly educated parents, they just tend to do better because of the resources and neighborhood that they live in and the opportunities in life that they have. So basically everything fell within on the side of these kids doing well because the parents were highly motivated to tell positive reports. They knew that they were involved in an ideological study related to how well kids in same-sex families do. And they were just in a higher sociological setting to be able to do well themselves. So one, I mean, just not representative of the general population at all. However, the control group, the heterosexual families, that was a big, broad population group that had the good and the bad in it. So basically what you're comparing is the best of one group and the highly motivated to tell positive stories of one group, and then the whole run of the mill, the good and the bad in the other group. So if you're not comparing considerable things, then you just can't trust in the finding that you get. And the scholars admitted this, that this was one of the big problems of their study. But most of the news media weren't as honest as the authors themselves were.
Well, and I guess that's no big surprise. What, Glenn, are some of the other problems that you saw with the study as you looked into it and analyzed it?
Well, you know, the big thing that I would say is the sneaky, slippery conclusion is, you know, when they say, well, it finds that kids in same-sex homes do just as well in kids in heterosexual homes, and in many ways better. Well, you know, we know that, in fact, one scholar many, many years ago, he said that step families can be so difficult and so challenging and so limiting and really harmful for the child that we should do all we can to cease from creating more of them. Well, what this study basically finds is, you know, the step families are in the mix that they're comparing the same-sex, these same-sex families from. and they never separated out kind of who is who. So essentially, you know, you can say that these same-sex homes are similar to step-family homes. Now, does that mean that every step-family home is doomed, you know, to do a horrible job? Does that mean that every same-sex family is doomed to do a horrible job? No. But what it means is that children are significantly more likely to have problems, to have struggles, to have difficulties growing up in their development if they're raised in either one of those homes. So basically what you could say, I mean, another take or headline from this story is, study finds that kids in same-sex homes mirror the problems that kids have in broken families, cohabiting families, and step families, and single-parent families, because the study did find that, you know? And so that's a different way of looking at it. Is it right to say the study shows that kids in same-sex families look like kids in heterosexual families? Well, in some of those heterosexual families, it did. It's those small differences that really make a world of difference that, you know, that people need to listen for. And it can be slippery. And it's, you know, from the other side, it's slippery for a purpose, because they want to kind of dust up and so that, you know, we can't think clearly about it. And that's exactly what we've seen in this study, unfortunately.
Well, Glenn, let's look at the positive. I know that you write in your blog post on this, and I'll quote, "Nature's purpose and design in ideally giving every child her own mother and father as her parents has not been challenged by any serious studies to date, including this one." And I think that's a great statement. Talk a little bit for our listeners about the benefits to children of living in a family situation with their married mother and father, and also the benefits to our society as a whole.
In a book that I wrote about 2 years ago, The Ring Makes All the Difference, it talks about this, is, you know, wedding rings on the parents' fingers. What does that matter for the child? And basically, if you look at any and all of the well-being measures for children, that is health and happiness, not having to visit the doctor as much, when they do get sick, they recover more quickly, they don't have difficulties at school, they stay in school and study hard and more likely to make better grades, they're more likely to graduate, go on to college, they're less likely to get involved in drugs, they're less likely to get involved in crime, less likely to get involved in early sexual activity. I mean, on and on and on it goes. The marital status of the parents makes a huge difference, even for cohabiting parents. You've got both parents there. They're, you know, quote unquote, committed to each other. But if there are not rings on their fingers and they're just cohabiting, those children do not do as well as kids who grow up with married parents. I mean, and the list goes on and on and on. And you think about, you know, likelihood of living in poverty. Kids living with married mothers and fathers, the sociologists tell us, are nearly never likely to live in poverty. Kids growing up in an unmarried situation, whether that's cohabiting or single parenting, they are significantly more likely to live in poverty. And so the last 40 years, we have seen tremendous experimentation with the family on the heterosexual side of things. Divorce, cohabitation, sex set free from marriage, single parenting, fatherlessness, things like that. And none of those things that we have tried have either trumped or even come close to competing with marriage in terms of providing good things for children, adults, or the society as a whole.
Well, Glenn, unfortunately, we are just about out of time for this week. Where can our listeners go to get a copy of your analysis of the Australian study that we've been talking about, and also to read more of your articles and research about the value of marriage and parenting for our children?
It's really simple. They just go to Google or any search engine and type in two words, focus and findings, and our site comes up as the first thing. Click on that link, and this analysis is the first link that will come up on that page, and it'll take you exactly where you need to go.
Excellent. Well, Glenn Stanton, thank you so much for being with us again on Family Policy Matters, and thank you so much for all the great work that you're doing at Focus on the Family.
Thank you, John, and likewise, we greatly appreciate what you guys are doing for the great state of North Carolina.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.